would be better off going to the Longhorn or somewhere like that, and if we wanted to have a steak dinner. So I doubt that I'll be doing any grilling out tomorrow. We'll just be chilling out. Just be chilling out tomorrow just a little bit. All right. Definitely, let's remember in prayer some folks. Andy mentioned Floyd, a friend of Floyd Craig. He's next door in the rehab place. What's the guy's name again?
Todd Gibson.
Todd Gibson has a terminal cancer, don't think he's ever confessed any faith in God, so definitely need to pray for that man. And remember Floyd, too. You know, he's been there now for quite some time. And pray for Barbara Tindall with her ongoing health issues that she's got. Also, pray for Jessica Wilson. We talked with Jessica back there after church today and was talking to her about her situations, and she got some stomach issues going on. She's had some tests run and so on. So they're supposed to get results back this next week for that. So do please pray for her. Brother Philip with us, he has some skin cancers that he's having to deal with. So definitely pray for Philip that all that will go okay. Pray for me also. Looks like I'm going to have to get me a new set of tires. I noticed here lately I was hearing a whining sound on the road and kind of bumping along, you know, as you go down the road. And I took it down yesterday down to Sam's where I bought my last set of tires and didn't realize that I have driven about 40,000 miles on that set of tires. And so I said, well, check them out, you know. And he went in there and said, yeah, said them things are bald on one end and they're humped up, you know. They're just bad tires, you know. So I'm investing in a new set. So we're going to have those put on Wednesday. So praise the Lord for his blessings and for all of his goodness to us. Amen. All right, we're turning over to the book of Judges, chapter 8, in your Bible. And this will be the third message on the life of this judge by the name of Gideon. And we know that Gideon fought the Midianite invaders. And in chapter 6, we see the call of this man Gideon. And it seems that the children of Israel once again had fallen off the wagon as far as their obedience and their worship of the true God. And so now they suffer the domination of the Midianite invaders. But we see where Gideon, by God's grace, won a great victory. And you remember our thought was little is much when God is in it. And sometimes the Lord has to reduce our numbers so that he can get all of the glory. So God tested their faith, and I say that a faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. So the Lord does test our faith. And so anyway, Gideon and the 300. The Gideon and the 300, God gave them a great victory. And, you know, all we're really required to do is to put our trust in the Lord and just trust Him when the numbers have been reduced. And God is able to supply even our resources. And He is the Almighty God, and little is much when He is in it. The Bible says that some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We're going to trust in the Lord. So now we come to Judges chapter 8, and we see the finality of this conflict. Gideon has not only to fight against the Midianites, but Gideon had to deal with two neighboring kings. And here in Judges 8 and verse 1, notice the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou called us not when thou wentest to fight the Midianites? And they did chide with him. There was a big argument because Gideon didn't call the Ephraim, tribe of Ephraim, to join the army and get in the fight. Now, how did Gideon respond to them? He said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has delivered into your hands the Midian, chiefs of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. That's a very interesting. They were mad as hornets. Ephraim, when they came to Gideon, they were mad. They were upset, man. They were losing it. Why didn't you have us involved in this? You know, we're insulted. We're deeply offended. We're insulted. I love the way Gideon handled it. He gave him compliments. Well, man, y'all are great. The tribe of Ephraim, what a great tribe you guys are. And look at all the victories now that you've won and all the wonderful things about you. And they didn't know how to do that and so how to deal with that. And so their anger was abated toward him. Now, today, in this third message on Gideon, I want to emphasize the need for a persevering obedience. It is inevitable that we're going to experience opposition. It's inevitable that we're going to be subject to criticism. And the men of Ephraim seem to have more concern about being recognized than the good for the whole nation of Israel. So I sense some jealousy here. Gideon did not rebuke them, but he sought to encourage them to get involved in defending the nation. On a more personal note, I've told you I'm a golfer, you know, and I've been playing this, what they call the Golf for Cash Tour, out in Lake County, at a place called Eagle Dunes. And I did something Friday and Saturday I've never done in my life. I was 13 under par for 2 days. I shot a 66 on Friday and a 65 yesterday and won the tournament. I can't believe how many people were disgusted and upset with me for doing that. There was a few that patted me on the back and said, hey, that's great. I said, well, it's not bad for a 70-year-old guy to do that. And boy, some of them got really kind of upset and wouldn't talk to me or anything. Well, you know, I don't know what will happen with that, but I didn't respond in anger or anything. I just said, well, all right, thank you for giving you money so I could win it. Whatever. But irregardless, you know, we want to persevere in obedience to the Lord. Now, let's talk about the perseverance of the believers. I believe in that. I believe that a true Christian will persevere in their faith. Doesn't mean they won't have down times. Doesn't mean, as we said this morning, that they're not going to be needed to be restored. Doesn't mean that Christians won't fail and sometimes really goof up. I mean, sometimes just really, really mess up. That happens. But a true Christian, in spite of his ups and downs, will persevere in the faith. Louis Burkhoff, in his excellent volume of theology, made the statement, and I've used this statement often, when he said that perseverance is that a continuous operation of the Holy Spirit in a believer by which the work of divine grace that's begun in the heart is continued and brought to completion. God's true children will not only believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will continue to believe on Him. And Jesus said to His followers, "If you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so what Jesus is saying is, if you're really saved, if you're really My disciple, you're going to stay with Me. You're going to continue in My word. And a true child of God will continue in the word of God. He will hold on to God's way because the sovereign Holy Spirit is holding on to Him. I'm holding on to the Lord, you know why? Because He's holding on to me, praise God. So the grace of God that saves us does not render unnecessary our continuance in following Jesus Christ as our Lord. Another statement says, "We believe that such only are real believers as endure unto the end. And their persevering attachment to Christ is the grand mark which distinguishes them from superficial professors, and that a special providence watches over their welfare, and they are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation." God keeps us by His power, and we're able to continue on. So, Gideon, he persevered in spite of the harsh criticism that was leveled at him. Now, Ephraim was a very proud people. They were a proud tribe. They felt slighted by Gideon. Who among us has not felt like someone did us wrong? Someone slighted us, you know, they didn't respect us like we think they should respect us. And have you ever had that happen to you? Yeah, it can happen in that way. And we know that Ephraim just simply didn't factor in that maybe, you know, hey, maybe that's God's will not to use them. I mean, God can bless someone else, right? And that's okay. That's okay. Tell you something about that little tournament. On Friday, the first day, I came in there, you know. I thought I'd won. There's no way nobody's going to beat that score. Well, here comes some fellow about the last group that came driving in there. And here's some guy that beat me by 5 strokes on the first day. And not only did he beat me by 5, I topped second place on that day, but he made a hole in one. And you know how much money was in the hole in one pot? $600. I said, "Man, wished I could have got that one." But you know what? I was happy for that guy. I shook his hand. I said, "Congratulations, man. Great, great, great." And that's the way you got to be. Just because God uses someone else, someone else accomplished something great, you don't have to down them for that, you know, because the next day God will bless you, right? And you always got to remember that. So there follows the criticism. Quite often, criticism can be constructive. I've always tried to look at it that way. You know, if someone criticizes me about something, I say, well, you know, if that's true, then thank you. Because that's constructive. That'll help me. Help me to do better. You know, but there's also quite often what I would call unconstructive criticism, where people criticize you and it's wrong, it's bad. I'll never forget when I first started going to church, and I was probably 17 years old. Now, I had music. I played the horn, saxophone, and the orchestras and marching band and all that. I played instruments, and I learned how to play the guitar. I bought a guitar and learned how to play that. And I started singing in church. And some guy came up to me after I sung the first song in church. He said, "That was awful." He said, "That sounded like an alley cat back there, you know." So that was awful. And at first, I thought, man, I'll never sing again.
I'm going to never sing again. But the Lord showed me different. Because another person said, boy, that blessed my heart. I needed that song. I needed that. And so I learned right away. Just because someone criticizes you doesn't mean that what they're saying is true. And it was that case here with Gideon and these men. You know, when I was a kid growing up, we played baseball. We had a big field back there behind our subdivision, and I don't know what it was, owned by the county. They had a big ravine back there. And it used to be a place called Joyland in Lexington. You know, I lived in that subdivision. They had Joyland, you know, and we'd go down there. And we'd play ball. You know, we'd just have some bats, two or three bats and gloves. And someone would bring some baseballs. And, boy, that's fun. You know, we used to play baseball. And inevitably, there was this kid. If he struck out, you know, more than once, and he usually did because he wasn't very good, he would say, "That's it. Give me my ball and bats and my gloves. I'm going home. If y'all can't play the game my way, give me my ball, give me my bat, give me my gloves. I'm going home."
I hope none of you were like that. But you know what? That didn't stop us from playing the ball. We'd just do the best we could. We just trade gloves, you know, give the outfielders the gloves, and we'd find a ball and bat. But that's the way some folks are. So what is that? That's a person's need for recognition. And that's what the motive was of the Ephraimites. Well, Gideon did give them some recognition, as we read there. And I appreciate the way Gideon handled the Ephraim's criticism. And you know, the Bible says that a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up strife. What if someone starts hollering at you? What if someone loses it? And they're cursing you and they're hollering at you and acting like fools. How do you handle that? You don't want to holler back at them and curse them and do, no. You just say, "Lord, I think they're kind of crazy, Lord." And you're just going to respond in a logical, spiritual way. Back to that person. And a soft answer turneth away wrath. The Bible says the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness.
hey, those guys in the warehouse, Bernadette, that don't like the way you do it and getting on your case, I don't know if that's happening or not. I really don't know. Best thing to do is just ignore them and do what you're supposed to do. All right? That's good advice. We don't have to respond to try to defend ourselves at every situation like that. You know why? Because the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees you. God knows what you're doing. Even though other people might not think you're doing anything, God knows what you're doing. And Joel probably knows too. That you got to worry about, right? And the Bible says that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness thereof is a breach of spirit. Gideon remained calm and cool in his dealings with his critics. So what I'm saying is simply this, you know, you can take what is good and you can leave what's bad. Just leave that behind. Because we have to realize that sometimes we may be dealing with just an overinflated ego. That may be what we're dealing with. Well, Gideon pursued and defeated those who would hinder his obedience to the Lord. That was the fight against the Midianites and these other folks. And notice in verse 4, Judges 8:4, Gideon came to Jordan. I didn't know he came to this church. But Gideon came to the Jordan. Now, he's talking about the Jordan River. And he passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him. They were faint and yet pursuing them. They were hungry. They were starving to death. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zebah and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. Now you would think that his own fellow countrymen would help him. No, they didn't. Verse 6, the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zebah and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thine army? Ah, Gideon, you haven't beaten that great force yet, so why should we waste our bread and food and money to help you when you haven't even won yet? Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord has delivered Zebah and Zalmunna into my hand, I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. And I say, ouch. He went up thence, verse 8, to Peniel. Oh, maybe they'll help us. He spoke unto them likewise, and the men of Peniel said unto him, as the men of Succoth had answered him, and spoke unto him unto the men of Peniel, saying, when I come again in peace, I'll break down your tower. That was pretty interesting. And so we know there are sins, there are problems that can hinder our obedience. We can easily get discouraged about the failures of other people and so on. And there are discouragers who would hinder our obedience. You know, Gideon was pursuing the two heads of state named Zebah and Zalmunna, and he needed some help. His army was hungry. They were faint. They were just getting ready to just totally fall over, and they needed help. They could have helped them. The princes of Succoth could have helped the hungry soldiers, you know. But you know what? They were so proud and so self-centered that they wouldn't help. Gideon's men were already down. They were fainting, and they needed encouragement. They needed supplies. They needed food. And the princes of Sukkoth had plenty of it. But they were selfish, and because they thought, well, if we give you all this food and stuff, it'll be wasted because you're going to end up losing the battle anyway. What they were really saying is, you know what, we really don't care. We really don't care about you. The men of Peniel cared more about their tower than they did anything else. And Gideon said, if I get back here, I'm going to tear that one down. And, you know, sure enough, Gideon defeated those two kings, and they ended up losing their precious tower. And Gideon chastised them as well as the princes of Sukkoth. You see, the discouragers don't realize that they are helping the enemy rather than helping the Lord. Only our pride can hinder our obedience with the Lord or to the Lord. And we see that with these princes and tribes who were so jealous of Gideon. But I have found that even pride can find its way into our own lives if we're not careful. It can find our way into us. Just recently, I don't know if you, how familiar you are with the G3 Ministries. It's a 10,000 people, you know, every 2 years they have a G3 conference up in Atlanta. I've been to it. On behalf of Baptist Faith Missions, we used to go there and set up a table to, you know, for missions. And there's a guy there named, the guy that's the head of it, he's a pastor of a church in Atlanta. His name's Josh Boyce, I think. Boos, something like it. Josh Boyce. He founded this G3 Ministries. Well, just recently, and I'm not gossiping here, this is just public fact, that the guy had to resign his ministry and resign as the president of G3 Ministries. And why did that happen? For the last 3 or 4 years, he has set up anonymous web pages for the purpose of criticizing and condemning his fellow G3 ministers. He was leveling charges at them, criticizing them, condemning them under an anonymous front. And they finally found out about it. And it was a very public, humiliating thing. And they called for his resignation. And it's kind of a sad thing. I know that the brother over here at Southside Baptist had him down to preach a few, maybe last year or something. I didn't go, but had him down there, you know. And I actually watched his message online. He was a great preacher, a great, great message. But he made a mistake of anonymously. And these are people that this man had in his own pulpit that he was condemning and falsely judging them. And that's so sad to see that type of thing happen. But, you know, I thought about, and everybody was talking about it, you know, how bad, well, and even some of our brethren in our rank of Baptists was saying how bad that was. I said, brother, I've seen men in our own ranks of Baptists that do the same thing. And they don't use anonymous websites to do it. They use their own Facebook page and pulpit to condemn their brothers in Christ. It's nothing new. Nothing new. And what is that? What's the source of that? Pride. I'm better. I'm better. Look how good I am. You know, look how good I am. Pride can get in your life. And did you know that's one of the greatest sins against God? Did you know it's an abomination to God to have that? And did you know the Bible says that pride goeth before a fall and before destruction? No, I'm not talking about when saying, you know, I'm proud of me, or I'm proud of Izzy, or I'm proud of this brother, or what? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that self-centered, egotistical attitude that says, me, 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 me first. Everybody else, you're down here, I'm way up here, y'all down here. That's what we're talking about. Now, what happened to Gideon? Same thing did you see happen. Because pride found his way into Gideon's life. Now, Gideon wanted the spoils of war, and he requested that the money that and ended spending that money to construct an ephod, a worship object that ended up ensnaring not only himself but all the people into a terrible idolatry. We read here that the people got so enamored with Gideon they wanted to make him a king. Notice here in Judges 8 in verse 22, the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule thou over us. Be our ruler, be our king. Thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Well, amen to that. He understood that God was to be their only king. But notice in verse 24, Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you. There is something I want. And remember, you know, when the preacher says that to you, there's something, y'all, I want. He's probably going to take up an offering. And that's what Gideon did. He said, give me every man the earrings of his prey, for they have golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. Give me the earrings. They answered, we will willingly give them. And they spread a garment and did cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was upon the kings of Midian, beside the chains that were about their camels' necks. Now note what happened. Verse 27. Gideon made an ephod out of all that gold. He put it on his city, even in Ophrah, and all Israel went hither a-whoring after it. Which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. Now here I think, here's Gideon, a true man of God. But even a man of God can make mistakes and fall into some very grievous errors. And that's what happened to Gideon. He should have never done what he did. And that's why perseverance of obedience to God is so vital for all of us. Now, yes, Gideon rejected a throne, but he still lived like a king. And after some of the greatest success, now watch this, after some of the greatest success can come the greatest downfall, if you're not.
Gotta be careful.
So we must persevere in obedience to the glory of the one true God. We always have to remember that He is God and we are not. We're just men and women of flesh and blood. We're not God. He's God. Gideon was a saved man. I believe that with all my heart. But he failed in the end. I tell you, my precious friends and fellow church members and flock, I know I'm turning the last corner of my road. 60 years and 10, there I am. And in a couple months, it'll be one more year. Turning the page, the final page. And as I live in these last years of my life and ministry, I hope and I pray that I can be faithful to the very end of it. God help me not to have a great fall at this time, at this end of my life. Oh God, keep my heart pure and faithful to You until You tell me, Mr. George, it's over. It's over. I hope I can be faithful to the very end. We just saw a burial of a man that I believe was. His name is Kenneth White. I knew Kenneth White when I was 17. He was the chairman of the deacons at Ashland Avenue Baptist Church. He was a godly man. Faithful. That man preached every 2 or 3 times a week in the nursing homes every week. He preached in church. He was a faithful deacon and preacher. And he died in faith and faithfulness. Well, Gideon acquired vast wealth. He had over, did you know he had over 70 sons by various women? Unfortunately, 69 of his sons were murdered by their half-brother, and then that half-brother was killed by a woman dropping a stone down on his head. You'll see that in Judges chapter 9. So Gideon started out as a servant, but ended up a celebrity. And the point is simply this: we must persevere in faith and obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ and follow the admonition of what we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. God help us not to allow pride or bitterness to get into our lives, to ruin our lives. Our perseverance is assured by God's preservation. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to keep on working in you. And that means we need to keep on trusting Him, and we need to keep on working for Him. And perseverance, again, is the sure mark of every child of God. And whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God give us faith to keep walking with Jesus. God give us faith to keep persevering. God give us faith that we might continue solid and spiritual unto the very end of our lives. May God give me that faith, and may God give you that kind of faith. And I know that God will test us. He'll test us through afflictions and dissensions and even family difficulties and such like. But listen, if you know and love Jesus Christ, there's no other alternative but to continue to follow Christ and continue to be faithful to Him. The true believer exclaims, "Where shall I go but to the Lord?" And he clings to the Lord like old Job did in his troubles. "Though he slay me, yet I will trust him." Let's keep trusting the Lord, folks. Persevere in your faith and obedience unto the Lord. And there's a crown of glory to win. And there's an example that we need to leave behind for those who come up behind us. God help us to persevere for the Lord. Amen. Father, I pray that you would work in our lives that indeed we would continue faithful, not just for now, but for until we lay this down. Lord, you know how long we have. You know how many years we have to go. And Father, we're just going to keep going forward. We're going to keep on keeping on until you say it's over and until we awaken your likeness. Help us to be faithful followers of Jesus. In His name we ask it. Amen. Hear thunder, buddy. Don't.